Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
I got to tell you, that opening sounded a little aggressive today. I know it's the same one every day. It just struck me as a little aggressive. We're going to lean into the nice part of the promise of the show. Good morning on this Tuesday. I made the case to a buddy the other day that Tuesdays are the worst day of the week. And he thought I was crazy. He thought it was Monday. But then I went through my theory. At least Monday, you sort of are braced and accepting for the awfulness. Tuesday, it's, I already went through Monday. I still got 4 days to go. But we're going to make it so much more pleasant for you for the next 2 hours. We have a great show lined up. A lot of things to get into. Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes played last night. Riveting stuff. Monty Williams, really interesting approach. You make almost $100 million as a coach. You're not winning many games. You got to find a way to inspire the guys. How about you whine like an angry child? Is that a good approach? Let's find out. And let's see what somebody on the other side of the whining, how they respond. It's pretty good. It's pretty good stuff. NBA Power Rankings coming up on the show. Our guy Matt Snyder covers Major League Baseball for CBS Sports. Will join me in an hour. We've got buy or sell, over under props, ironically, for the NFL next season. Some predictions that we'll try to glean from those. I've got an NCAA dilemma that involves my son and leaving school early again and getting a call from the truancy police. Is that a real thing? All of that coming up on the show. I am Bill Ryder, as you heard, and the phone number to call us is 855-212-4CBS. Twitter is, for me, Sports Ryder, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, Pretty Daddy at Pretty Daddy CBS. The gambling reality in sports means that there is going to be a constant hum of darkness of the shady side of sports gambling in our sports going forward. And that is on stark display. It's not, though, necessarily because gambling in sports and its embrace by not just fans but by leagues, then push it to fans, is going to result in more players gambling. That's not the reason. Counterintuitively, the rise of gambling in sports, I think, has the potential to do some good, at least in the sense of outing athletes, or maybe their interpreters, depending who you believe, who gamble in ways that can damage the sport and certainly damage the brand. And that has been on stark display the last week. Shohei Ohtani and the firing and accusations leveled at his interpreter because the interpreter allegedly ran up $4.5 million in debt that Shohei either did pay or that was stolen from Shohei or whatever you want to believe. As we've discussed nonstop on the show, that story has changed. It's front and center. And Shohei spoke yesterday through a different interpreter. I'll let you hear that in a second. But as if the NBA wanted to get in on the action, Jonte Porter has been suspended, did not play for the Toronto Raptors. He is under investigation. Now, Jonte Porter is not Shohei Ohtani. He's a nobody, former potential star who's just a journeyman player now. Doesn't get a lot of minutes, but he is under investigation for allegations and concerns that he or someone close to him bet on his own player props. So how many rebounds he's going to have, how many points he's going to have, props, individual bets on individual stats of individual players, and perhaps cash in on that. That's the allegation. And the thing, and that is a big deal, two games under review here, that perhaps, allegedly, there are concerns that Jontay Porter may have impacted outcomes. He left both games early, hit the unders on his points and rebounds and assist props, and they were, on each of the 2 days that are under investigation, the highest bet props those days. Lots and lots of money. A sportsbook industry source told ESPN that multiple betting accounts attempted to bet large amounts, upward of 10 to 20 grand, on Porter's unders in a January game in particular against the Clippers. How do Shohei and his interpreter and this random guy in the NBA, how do they link? Here's the takeaway. And here I think maybe is what people are missing who don't understand how gambling works. Because the premise that has been out there and that I've heard on CBS Sports Radio and other places is gambling in sports is a big thing, and now all these athletes are gambling. But here's the actual reality. Gamblers have always gambled. And problem gamblers have always found problematic ways in which to gamble. I actually believe, and I think we're seeing this, that the rise of endorsed gambling, and it is endorsed by the professional sports leagues, in the worst timing in the history of anything, last week the NBA announced that they will have in-game betting possible on their in-house League Pass available. So if you're watching League Pass in, I don't know, San Antonio, because if you're in San Antonio, you can't watch a Spurs game, and you're watching the Nets play, they will have the opportunity to direct you to whoever legally you can place bets with in your state about the Nets, and you can go bet. But the thing is, that kind of scrutiny, and places like DraftKings, I'm going to use it as an example because that sportsbook reported in a media release that Porter's prop bets were the number one moneymaker for the night in question in the NBA. That means that DraftKings, unlike an illegal bookie, are going to alert the NBA. They're going to actually alert authorities when there is betting patterns that are problematic. Now, I don't know how Jontay Porter's allegations came to light, but I can assure you there's a very good chance the sports betting houses themselves alerted the NBA, who then investigated, which makes it, in some ways, a pretty good scenario. It's like anything else. It's like drinking and prohibition. It's better to have it be legal and be regulated and have it out there in the open than in the murkiness. Now, on the flip side of that, I'm going to get a little in the weeds here, but I think it's worth talking about before I get to Shohei Ohtani. We don't know the truth about what went down with Ohtani. We know that Ipe, his former translator, had a conversation with ESPN on the record that was set up, as we understand it, by Shohei's people, which is very eyebrow-raising and suspicious, in which for 90 minutes he said, Ipe, I have a gambling problem, I ran up debts, I went to Shohei Ohtani, the most transcendent baseball player on the face of the earth, I'm his interpreter and also his best friend, and Shohei, what a great guy, agreed to pay the debts, I'm so relieved, I said over his shoulder, he transferred the money in his own name, but he didn't do the bets, and I never bet baseball, and I'm so sorry. Okay. And then a short time later on the same day, that same interpreter came back and said, just kidding, Shohei never knew, I've made a terrible mistake. At the exact same time that he was fired and that Shohei Ohtani's attorneys released a statement saying that Shohei had been the victim of a major fraud. But the reason that we know about it is because of a federal investigation into illegal bookmaking. And while the feds have always and will always investigate illegal bookmaking, I promise you, the rise of legal gambling, the revenue that generates, the power that casinos and sportsbooks have, and the reality that states and the federal government really would like to get their hands on the taxes that are a part of legal gambling means they're going to go after the folks, the operators doing it behind the scenes. It's not taxed, it's not regulated, nobody gets their hands in the trough. So I think we're going to get a lot more instances like the one I'm about to play for you. I think actually gambling's foothold in legitimacy in sports is going to lead to outing a lot more problem actors, problematic gamblers, people who are allegedly like Jontay Murray and either allegedly like Ipe or maybe Shohei, depending on how you view this, people who are gambling when they shouldn't be. And it's going to lead to some ugly scenes. And it's going to damage the sports. And it's going to damage some of their players. And the sports aren't going to care. Not really, because they want the money. Here is Shohei Ohtani's new interpreter speaking for Shohei about what went down.
Last weekend in Korea, media has reached out to a representative in my camp inquiring about my potential involvement in this sports betting. Ipe never revealed to me that there was this media inquiry. Ipe told to the media and to my representatives that I, you know, on behalf of a friend, paid off debt. Upon further questioning, it was revealed that it was actually, in fact, Ipe who was in debt and told my representatives that I was paying off those debts. All of this has been a complete lie. Up until that team meeting, I didn't know that Ipe had a gambling addiction and was in debt. And at that, obviously, at that point, I never agreed to pay off the debt or, you know, make payments to the bookmaker.
That is Shohei Ohtani's interpreter interpreting for Shohei Ohtani when he spoke yesterday, reading from a prepared statement, did not take questions, made eye contact. To some people out there, came off as fairly believable. It's hard to know what's really going on. You can make, and people certainly have, a compelling case that Shohei Ohtani is full of it, and you can believe, if you want to, I think reasonably, that there's reason to suspect he was the one that gambled. And the questions you'd ask are legitimate. Who gives $4.5 million to a buddy for gambling debts they racked up? What bookie extends $4.5 million in credit to a guy we know when he worked for the Dodgers, Ipe, who made $300,000 to $500,000 a year, unless you're pretty sure someone's going to pay it off? If, in fact, the second story is true, and that Ipe stole this money, as is alleged, as he seems to have owned up to in his second statement to ESPN, how did he get access to Shohei Ohtani's bank account? And not only that, I transfer money all the time using my bank account. Usually the alert system goes to your cell phone, maybe your email. Shohei Ohtani didn't notice $4.5 million was missing? You really think that this is a coincidence? But there's a flip side of this, too. This might sound obnoxious, but it is what it is. Really rich people and really rich athletes, and not just athletes, people in the weird community that I live in here in L.A., don't know how much money they have sometimes. Look, you and I know how much money we have, but if $111 to you and I was the equivalent of $4 million to Shohei Ohtani, and my wife said, do we have $111 in some random account, I'd probably be like, I don't know, man. Go look it up on the Bank of America website. Rich people lose track of their cash. Athletes are swindled all the time because they trust multiple people to handle their money. Shohei thought this was his best friend. This is a Rorschach test. You can look at this story and believe what you want to believe. And Shohei wasn't done, speaking through an interpreter yesterday, addressing the biggest controversy I think baseball has seen since Pete Rose, where he continued to say, it wasn't me.
I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports.
All right, I'm going to play a one last short one because we'll let Ohtani, whose reputation has been besmirched either by the betrayal of his best friend and interpreter or if you don't buy that, through poor decision-making. We don't know what happened. I'm not accusing Shohei Ohtani. I really hope that he didn't do it. I'm not sure. If you ask me what I think, I don't know. But in these 50-50 cases, we root for what we want to be true. And I want Shohei Ohtani to be clean in this. I love him as a player. My kid loves him. I hope he's telling the truth. We don't have enough information. And here is one more bit of his perspective, his view, through his interpreter yesterday.
Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening. Just to kind of just go over the result, in conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies.
Look, I sent this to Pretty Daddy yesterday. Lisa Guerrero tweeted over on X. Can you tweet on X? Can you X on Twitter? For those who don't believe Ohtani, let me say this. After spending 10 years in the NFL, 13 years as a sportscaster, and married to an MLB player for 14 years, you'd be surprised at how many star athletes don't know who's handling their money, how much they really have, or how much they spend. Let me tell you a story. This is a true story. I won't say who. I think I've said it before, but I don't want it to be disrespectful. When I worked over at Fox Sports, and I worked in a green room with all kinds of famous athletes, one of the athletes there, who was a Hall of Fame level athlete, was in a meeting with all of us and then left, took an important phone call, came back into the meeting smiling, Turned out he just made $20 million. He was retired. He had made $20 million because his business manager, who manages his money, had invested in a company years ago that had just gone public or sold, and he got the cash. And everyone was celebrating and high-fiving him, and let's go out for drinks. And he told a detail that raised my alarm bells, but I didn't want to rain on the parade, where he said, yeah, I told him 20, 15 years ago not to do it, not to put, you know, 500 grand, a million in, but he just ignored me and did it anyway. Yeah, 20 million. And everyone was high-fiving him. And I remember thinking, you have a guy who has access to your money who ignores what you tell him to do with it and just makes his own decisions? I really hope that guy is trustworthy. Now, it turns out that guy was trustworthy, as far as we know, because my buddy got $20 million. But if my buddy didn't know when he told his financial guy, don't put $1 million into this, that the guy had done it, then he wouldn't have known if the guy had transferred it to his own gambling account or his own checking account or to his daughter's college tuition. The point being, it is a reasonable explanation by Shohei Ohtani, even if it doesn't seem reasonable to you and I, because these folks aren't like us. I think it was Fitzgerald. Rich people aren't like you and me. But that doesn't make him innocent. It doesn't make him guilty. It's an ugly story, and it ain't going away. But I will say this. The rash of athletes, players, interpreters, coaches, managers, who are going to fall victim to gambling problems publicly, it is just beginning. But it's not a consequence of the rise of gambling in sports, in the sense that these guys aren't gambling because gambling became more prominent. These guys are getting caught because gambling became more prominent. It's a big distinction, and it's actually good. It's not good for the sports brands, but it's good in the sense it's going to weed out a lot of people who've probably been doing this for years and years and years and years. All right, let's keep it moving. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Monty Williams, man, Monty Williams is taking a heel turn from one of the most likable people in the NBA to not. We'll get into that. He's going to tell on himself. A little bit on Caitlin Clark. I haven't been able to watch a lot of Iowa women's basketball this year because of my NBA duties. Beyond the Arc podcast daily, 2 Eastern. Check it out. But I did last night. I just skipped NBA games. Think my co-host judged me. Whatever. I'm from Iowa. I'm doing it. We'll talk about that, and I'm going to try to balance being a good dad and being a cool dad involving the NCAA tournament. All that coming up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
Tom, I meant to ask you, you and I were both sick as dogs, which is a weird expression. Sick as dogs. Have you ever known a dog to be sick? I mean, I'm sure dogs have been sick, but I wouldn't know how to tell.
On CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back into the show. I'm still sick, by the way. Did you see me coughing in that opening segment? I saw you laughing at me.
I would never do such a thing.
I was doing I feel a lot better than last week. It's just every now and then my throat gets a little caught. I was doing Beyond the Arc, 2 Eastern, CBS Sports, NBA. Check it out. Yesterday, did you see this part? And I had such a coughing fit, I had to leave the screen. And they didn't take the screen down.
I was concerned for you. I didn't know where you went.
Yeah, they were nice. They thought it was funny. We have a little breaking news here.
Breaking news.
The NFL owners have approved some rules changes, and the revamp of the kickoff play is massive. It is a game changer for all 11 of you that watch XFL games. You'll be familiar with this. It's a very similar. Is XFL on broadcast on CBS? Because if so, I take that joke back.
I don't believe so.
Okay, then yeah, the joke's good. Basically, it's complicated. It's convoluted. Here's the deal: you're going to have members of the kicking and the receiving team stationed in zones, areas they have to be in, and no one's allowed to move other than the kicker and two designated kickoff receivers, and no one can move until the ball hits the ground or the receiver catches the ball, right? Touches the ball. And this is supposed to have a few impacts. One, they don't like the NFL, the number of touchbacks that are really ramped up, that they feel like it had lessened the impact of, it's not the offense, but the special teams capabilities of kickoff returns for the receiving team. And they think that this approach will reduce further and not increase the likelihood of concussion-related symptoms or other physical problems from, you know, what is a pretty violent part of the game right now in the current structure. So there's a lot to it. It's complicated where the kickoff team is stationed, where they stand. Some of the zones, it looks like, for the receiving team are a little bit tweaked from what the XFL does. I could explain it to you. You wouldn't understand it because I barely do. We'll have to sort of see it and watch it to understand it, but it's going to be a very different kickoff reality. A few other rules. There's going to be a teams will receive a third challenge after one successful challenge. So they're taking this from the NBA. The NBA does this, and there's a few other minor ones. Tom, I'm not going to weigh in on whether I like the kickoff return changes or not because it's so drastically different that I don't think we'll be able to assess with NFL-level talent. This isn't the XFL. NFL speed, NFL athletes, the adjustment teams are going to make, how it impacts the game and how we feel about it until we see it. And I hate change so much. I go to a local breakfast place sometimes, and they'll just bring me my food sometimes. It's just, they'll just, here's the Bill Ryder. They don't call it that. They don't know my name, but they bring me the same food. I don't like change so much. I don't want to prejudge something just because it's different.
There's a lot going on with these new kickoff rules. And as you said, these designated zones, you're going to have to see this in order to determine whether this is going to work for you or not. But doesn't it feel like we're headed towards getting rid of the kickoff altogether?
I don't know. I think this is a no. I mean, I have a totally different reaction. Andy Reid proposes this. I think this is intended to head that off. I think this is the other attempt because this creates, in theory, more opportunities for the receiving team, as I understand it, to bring the ball further down the field on average while reducing, that's part of the reason, the impact, the high-speed impacts, because guys are not going to be hitting each other at a full running speed. They're going to be stationary until the play begins. So I think it's the opposite. I meant to test your claim, which I know was erroneous, yesterday, that you were going to be watching Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. I did talk to you at 4, and you were watching The Lion King for the 100th time.
Oh, my goodness.
What? I know you didn't watch it. It's okay. I have not watched a lot of Caitlin Clark. She is the phenomenal women's basketball player for the Iowa Hawkeyes. She has become a national sensation. The game was on national television. It was all over my Twitter timeline. I have not watched a lot of college basketball, really, because I watch so much NBA for Beyond the Arc podcast, 2 Eastern, 5 days a week. Get into it. And it is. It's fun. You should come check it out. But I just decided yesterday to skip the NBA duties that I had. I had NBA responsibilities. I just didn't watch those games. I watched Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes, and I'll say it was pretty mesmerizing, and it was pretty physical. And the Hawkeyes really – Hawkeyes had a 10-point lead over West Virginia in the fourth quarter and then just went into straight-on choke mode. And West Virginia came back, tied the game, I think took a brief lead. Eventually, the Hawkeyes won. It was fun, man. She is – you got to get into this, Tom, is what I'm saying. You got to start watching some Caitlin Clark. And she's a badass. She's kind of a villain, and I like it. But she's aggressive. She's throwing F-bombs.
And she didn't even have a stereotypical great shooting night last night.
No, she had like 30, almost 30 points. Hit a lot of free throws. She was off. She had some ugly shots. So I got a bit of a dilemma here. You ready for my dilemma?
Bring it on. What do you got?
Okay. Already pulled Henry out of school early the other day for a, what did I pull him out of school early for? Oh, for a Barcelona football match, soccer match. Excuse me. We're in America. I apologize. Sucker! Okay. I'm supposed to play tennis against a guy in my tennis league on Thursday. The guy's name is Scott. He had to bail because he's going to an NCAA game. They have it at Crypto, which is where it used to be Staples here in L.A. It's Arizona Clemson, I believe, is the game. He's got VIP tickets. He's got a lounge. There's food. He said, hey, I can't play tennis with you. Do you want to come to this game? So I'm like, yeah. He said, do you want to bring somebody? I said, I'll bring my son. We thought it was a late game. He told me it was a late game. It's a 4 o'clock game. It's a 2 o'clock show up. I don't watch a lot of college hoops, but I used to cover college hoops. I know a lot of people in the college hoops world. I think I'm going to pull Henry out of school again and just take him. Twice in 2 weeks.
This one's worth doing.
You think I'd do it?
Going to the event is a game changer.
Sweet 16.
Yeah, this is big.
And Arizona is, I don't know if you are a geography savant or not, but it is directly next to California. And my niece goes to Arizona.
That much I knew.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't until I moved out here. I don't know anything about geography. So there's a lot of Arizona fans that are in our community, right? Like Henry's kind of into it because he knows he's got buddies who like Arizona. Now he wants an Arizona jersey. So I think I'm going to do it. I mean, I got to drive all the way downtown. It's Dodgers opening day, so traffic's going to be brutal. I think I'm just going to do it.
Are you going to surprise him again, or are you going to let him know that it's happening?
Here's how I screwed up. I told him we could go. He's super into it. And then I realize he has soccer practice that night. So I try to walk it back, but I think I'm stuck. Forgot about soccer practice.
And this is all, is this in an effort to make up to him because you ate his Reese's eggs?
No, but he was pretty mad at me. He sent me a video.
Yeah, he shouldn't be mad at you.
I told him the truth, and I did it in front of my beloved bride, that it was her fault for A, not hiding them well, and B, not buying me some. As an offering, right? An offering to the daddies. You have to, you got to hear yours. Don't eat the other ones you find. Thanks for bringing that up. Why are we talking about old stuff?
Anytime, man. That's what I'm here for.
Here's new stuff. You ready for some new stuff? The New York Knicks are really good. They do not have OG Anunoby, although when he plays for New York, he was traded there this season. Small sample size. They are 15-2. He's got an elbow thing. They don't have Julius Randle. I'm not as high on Julius Randle as some of my colleagues. Colleague there in Tom's building thinks he's the new Michael Jordan. But I do think that Julius Randle can be pretty good. And I think pretty good's an understatement. I think his offensive output, if managed properly by Tibbs, is really important for the Knicks to make a deep run. And the Celtics, by the way, blew a 30-point lead last night, the largest in their history. 8 of their 15 losses this year, Boston's, are double-digit leads. I continue to maintain there's a vulnerability there. I just don't know who in the East can take advantage of it. Maybe New York, but they got to keep their head above water. No Randle, no Anunoby right now. They got to keep their head above water. And guys just keep stepping up to help Jalen Brunson. And last night it was Dante DiVincenzo. He was amazing. Hit 11 threes. Knicks record. They're super fired up. They beat the living crap out of the Pistons. It was a humiliation. Monty Williams is the coach. He's making $85 million or whatever it is over the course of his deal for, I don't know. I don't even know how many wins they have. Two? It's a little more than that. They're not a very good basketball team. And after the game, I mean, this is like sour grape stuff. Monty Williams, the head coach of the Pistons, was asked about DiVincenzo's record, and he went all whiny, whiny baby time.
I don't care about their team at all. I could care less. Those guys, the way they got those threes, I don't want to be a part of that story.
Here's the thing. I was going to tell you, coming off that, I don't want to be part of the story, that there are a lot of things you could do to not be part of the story, other than complain about it. But I don't have to, because Josh Hart, also stepping up for his guys, New York Knicks Josh Hart, responded for all of us.
If you don't want to be a part of this, don't be sure to tell those guys to defend better. What is this like, bro? We got a guy that's hot. We're going to try to find a guy that's hot. I mean, it's common sense of basketball, so.
Yeah, give me a break. Give me a, I don't want to be a part of their story. No. And the guy that gets posterized on some random dunk doesn't want to be a part of that story either, John Collins. But you know what? Sometimes if you're not good enough to stop the other guy, he forces you into his story. That's the way that it works. Monty Williams, stop complaining so much. You sound like Pretty Daddy. You sound like the prettiest of daddies. What are you throwing your hands up for?
That felt uncalled for.
You're a bit of a complainer sometimes, though.
What have I complained about?
I played tennis yesterday, and I made my buddy real mad. I made my buddy real. My buddy's real mad at me. Yeah.
What'd you do wrong?
I don't think I did anything.
Well,
all right. Like,
what'd you do
wrong? I wasn't going to bring it up. We're playing. So me and this guy play all the time, but we're playing an actual league match. Sounds like the Big Lebowski. It's a league match, Smokey. And he beat me in the first set barely. But it was no one cares about me. But whatever. I was 4-5. I had to hold serve not to lose. It's a changeover. And he just leaves. I'm like, where are you going? He's like, oh, I'm going to get some water. And he leaves for like 5 or 10 minutes. And he comes back and I go, nice cooler, bro. He's like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to leave. I'm like, it's fine. I lost the next 6 games. I lost that set and I went down 5-0. So finally the 5-0 changeover, I'm like, hey, man, that wasn't cool, Beck. It's like, oh, you should have just said something. I'm like, well, I should have. I'm saying it now. Can't leave the court. And then I proceeded to win the next 5 games. And he got real angry that I'd brought up the cooler. But then, and he was laughing when he was up 5-0, and I was definitely laughing when I was at 5-5. Then I had to leave to get my kids, so we have to resume it today. He was not happy.
You have to resume it?
Yeah.
You're not starting over.
I was like, no, well, you can't start over. I just said, just take the W, but I think he's pretty mad. He's like, we'll finish it.
Are you sure you guys are still friends after this?
Not entirely sure.
Okay. You should have said something initially. You were clearly.
I was so shocked. Where are you going? Here's the thing. It's a changeover. I got a hold serve. He's a good player. I'm trying to be in a mental space, and then he just leaves. So it was just like, where are you going? And then at one point during the match, he started having a conversation with somebody while I was trying to serve. I had to wait. This is like really first world problems. Because I guess the point is I'm a complainer.
You said it, not me.
I'm Monty Williams. Him. He got pretty mad. He got pretty upset.
I don't want to be associated with this.
Yeah, he was not. I'm a competitive guy. I don't like. Almost got 6-0, but then we came storming back. Then we came storming back, Tommy. Now, I don't care. If I lose today, I probably will. It's fine. It's all good.
When you say it's fine, it's fine. It's fine. It's not fine. It's not fine.
I mean, I feel pretty good about it now. All right. What's your most competitive thing? What are you competitive about?
What am I not competitive about?
Yeah, what are you most competitive about?
What am I most competitive about? Doing a good show.
Okay. I was trying to do real talk.
Wow,
all right. Let's
buy that at all.
NBA power rankings coming up here on the show. With the world's most competitive radio producer, after we get a CBS Sports Radio update from Andrew Bogish.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
The way that I think of, I don't know anything about eclipses. Is it a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse or Halley's Comet, which is not an eclipse? That's a comet? That's called Halley's Comet, right? Every 60, 70 years this happens.
On CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Good morning. Bill Ryder with you. I miss covering college basketball. I like covering college basketball. The problem with covering college basketball, Tom, it is a riveting experience for the fans for the, I don't know, 4.5 weeks that if you want to go to conference championship tournaments, conference tournaments, that it really takes hold of the sports zeitgeist, the imagination. But if you're an NBA, or excuse me, a college basketball reporter, sometimes you feel like you don't get enough attention the rest of the year. Have you seen the outstanding? I don't usually bring up other radio hosts, and this particular radio host, I'm sure he's a nice man, just hasn't been nice to me in my 2 interactions with him, Rich Eisen. Have you seen the Larry David interview with Rich Eisen that's making the rounds on social media?
I don't believe I have.
Quite hilarious. He is asked, Larry David is asked if he's filled out a bracket, and Larry goes on a Larry David-esque rant where he says, I gotta know about Drake now? I gotta know the power forward for Drake in Des Moines, Iowa? I don't have time. Then he swears. But he makes the point in a long-ranging way. How do all of these sports fans have time to memorize every team in college basketball follow their NBA team, follow the NBA at large, follow their NFL team, follow every NFL team, soccer, follow soccer, have a hockey team, have a college football team. It's a good point.
You want to know my take on it?
Talk to me about it, buddy. Tell me.
People are frauds.
People are frauds.
Yeah.
Can you expand upon, you think people aren't actually into sports or watching as much sports as they pretend to?
Yeah. Yeah, I think people will say that they're fans of so-and-so team, whatever league, whatever sport. And in all honesty, they're not watching or following them as much as they say they do.
Can I tell you that I'm withholding a lot of jokes right now?
You fire away.
I'm just telling you.
Fire away.
There's jokes that are coming to mind right now.
Fire away.
Certain jokes have crept into my brain. Okay? It's a pretty good bit. Because soccer, at least for me, wasn't a thing the way that it used to be. And college football has become, maybe it's because I'm not in college anymore. I'm just removed or very removed. I don't follow college football through the University of Missouri anymore like I used to. I follow it as a national product, which means there's a lot of teams that I have to follow. When I was 23, I followed Mizzou. That was pretty easy because they never won. Now I'm going to follow Alabama. I'm going to follow Michigan, or at least I did. We'll see what they do without Harbaugh. I'm going to follow Ohio State. I'm going to follow the Pac-2, right? Like all these things that are happening. There's a lot of sport. UFC is a big thing now that's on the rise. I know that you're a big tennis guy.
Huge.
You love the tennis?
Huge.
How many times a year? And the answer can be zero. Do you intentionally put tennis on?
Let's go with 2023. I think I did it twice.
Twice. Okay, so like big final
yeah.
kind of moments.
Yeah. And the last one, my wife got into it as well, so that was pretty fun.
Do you know what I used to find soothing? One of the only things that could soothe my chaotic brain. I don't do it anymore, but I used to sit on the couch at 1 or 2 in the morning before I had kids, drinking a beer, Budweiser bottle usually, maybe 3 of them. And I would just fall into the great, beautiful, rhythmic nothingness of watching bowling. And I found it to be strangely compelling when it used to be on the Ocho or wherever it was on back in the day, ESPN 8.
And you mentioned this week you were in a bowling league.
I was.
Was that, like, did you get into watching bowling while you were bowling yourself?
No, unrelated.
Okay.
As I mentioned, I'm a very bad, you look like you'd be a bowler.
Not so much.
You know who looks like they could roll? Is Nikola Jokic.
Wow. Bowling lingo there, too. Wow.
Yeah.
They can roll.
That dude can roll, man. I was in a bowling league with my brother, Bobby. In 2007. It's been a minute. Are bowling leagues still a thing?
I think so.
People saw their bowling?
Yeah. We have some, like, fancy bowling. I guess they're still called bowling alleys, but, like,
right.
Not your stereotypical, like, dilapidated bowling alley.
Right, the cocktails,
yeah,
and the partying.
Yeah.
Lucky Strike.
Yes.
I prefer the old school. This used to be a 1940s meeting room for the Kiwanis Club vibe.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
I want my beer cold and my air stale.
I can't breathe in here. Why is it so smoky?
I've been bowling in years. I love bowling. All right. I'm glad we were able to work through that together. We could workshop a little bit. We got to bowling. Was on the bingo card. Let's do NBA Power Rankings.
Some will rise. Others will fall. Let the ranking begin on Writer Than You's NBA Power Rankings. Number 5.
I got the Milwaukee Bucks here. Look, I think it's some fool's gold, but gold still sparkles. 15 games since the All-Star break, since the All-Star game. And the Doc Rivers-led Milwaukee Bucks are 11-4 over that stretch. And most importantly, he's improved them defensively since Adrian Griffin left. But most importantly, over that time, over that 15-game mark in the NBA, they're 4th in all offensive rating. Really impressive. Now, I've got a pretty deep dive, kind of wonkish on Doc's tenure and what's going on and how it compares to Adrian Griffin and over similar timelines. I don't buy them. I think there's vulnerability for the Celtics. I don't. I still think Giannis and Dame look a little discombobulated. They look like me and my wife when we tried to learn to do some formal dancing. Lori just refused to let me lead, so it just didn't work, right? They want to be partners. They like each other, but they're both trying to lead, and it's not working. Yeah, it was, man. Lori, stop leading her. I don't know how. Me, I know. I am a skeptic on the Bucks, but they're playing well. They're playing good basketball. In the margins, there are things I think to be worried about, and that's before you get to, for me, the playoff specter of Doc Rivers, the coach, in the postseason. But right now, they are at least imitating a very dangerous team.
Number four.
It's going to be controversial because they're behind the team I just mentioned in the standings. They are behind many of the teams I will not mention at all on this list. I'm going the New York Knicks. I can't believe how good they are. And let me give you a little context here very quickly. OG Anunoby is gone, but they're 15-2, as I mentioned earlier in the show when he plays. Julius Randle has been injured for a minute. They are in need of his offense eventually. There's no Mitchell Robinson, and yet they keep winning games, and they keep playing gutsy games, and not just that beatdown of the lowly Pistons last night. This is a Knicks team that, for whatever reason, and Jalen Brunson's the main reason, continues to find ways to be successful. Tom Thibodeau is wringing every bit of excellence from every one of those players. They have an identity. They know who they are. They are balanced on offense and defense. And if whole East is banged up, they get healthy, the New York Knicks are good enough to make the deepest of runs. They really are. Do not lose sight of what they are now and what they should be when they get healthy in the ways they need to with Randle and Anunoby hopefully coming back soon.
Number three.
They're coming off a pretty big beatdown against the Milwaukee Bucks, who were below them on the list. It was a bad matchup. The Thunder are a great basketball team. They're young. They're not very big. They're a little frail, a little thin, because they're younger dudes. But they are incredibly balanced offensively and defensively. They have stars. I think they're going to compete for championships in the years ahead. I'm not sure this year, but, man, that's a good basketball team.
Number two.
Most of you would have the Boston Celtics at one. I do not. There are two. I know that they're 57-15. I know they have the best record in the NBA. They blew a 30-point lead last night. 8 of their 15 games they have lost have been double-digit leads they've given away. Jason Tatum, by the way, was awesome in the fourth quarter and awesome in crunch time, but he has historically been pretty bad. They're outstanding. I think there might be some Achilles heels in there waiting to be injured. I'm worried about them. They're great, but they're not the team ahead of them on this list.
Number one.
Denver has gotten where they're always going to get, the top spot in the West. It's only by a game. Denver's playing really good basketball. They're proven champions. They're battle-tested. And Nikola Jokic is the most important force in the game right now, especially with Embiid injured and Giannis trying to figure things out with Lillard. Jokic already went through that learning curve, and they really learned together with Jamal Murray. Do not doubt the Nuggets. Good chance. I'll be talking to you for half of June on this show from Denver this June because they're in the finals.
Honorable mention.
I'm going to go. This is tricky. I'm going to tie. Timberwolves and the Magic for different reasons. T-Wolves for how well Anthony Edwards is playing without Carl Anthony Towns. The guy's a stud. And the Magic because they're quietly, sneakily winning a whole bunch of games. I don't think either team are legit contenders. I think the Timberwolves have a better case, but man, they're playing good basketball, or in T-Wolves' case, gritty basketball given their injury. A lot of injuries.
Here's your participation trophy.
I'm going to give this one to the Cleveland Cavaliers because their participation in any postseason that actually makes them a contender is contingent upon Donovan Mitchell and his health. But they built up a nice little cushion. They're really good defensively. They are ready to go. Again, this is a theme. Are you sensing a theme? If they can get right.
Better luck next time.
All right, this is the Pelicans. Probably put them too low. They have all the metrics of a championship-level team. They're an outstanding basketball team. They've really been overshadowed by other teams. I mean, they're 44-27. It's a pretty good record. They've won a lot of games.
At least you tried.
Oh, no, I'm done. Oh, you know what? Tom DeCelestino, excuse me, the executive producer of this show. Push it again. I want the people to hear it. This is for Tom.
At least you tried.
Your effort is outstanding.
I'm on a heater. I haven't won Bum of the Week two straight weeks.
I mean, you should never win Bum of the Week, or you should rarely. That, you know what I'm saying? You really came out of the gate
hot.
Bumming it up.
Hot.
Bumming it up. Who's the bum of the week front runner right now? I don't even know.
Yeah, a little early to call this week.
I guess it is early. Monty Williams is kind of doing some stuff. It's not Doc Rivers either. You know what? It's a little too serious, the Shohei stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's also hard to know who you'd even tag in that story because there's not enough info. But let's get some insight on that from a guy who covers the sport. Matt Snyder, CBS Sports MLB guru, joins me next here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.